why separation anxiety is overdiagnosed. Hi everyone, welcome to Signposts for Living with Dr. Kirsten Hunter. Kristen Coggin, hello darling.
Hello.
Lovely to have you along again.
Lovely to be here.
Now,
yes,
you ready?
Yep.
Okay, separation anxiety.
Right.
This is a great topic because it's one that everyone thinks they know what they're talking about, but they often don't.
Mm-hmm.
And so many kids and so many parents, families really grapple with this issue. So have you personally experienced, well, I'm probably going to pull apart what you're going to say, but anyway, sorry to pressure.
Yeah.
Have you experienced separation anxiety with your kids?
No.
No.
Just the dog.
Just the dog. What's the dog done?
It just doesn't like it when you leave. Gets a bit stressed.
What does it do?
Yelps, cries.
Really?
Gets a bit panicky. Tries to dig holes.
Poor darling. Does it settle down? Do you have any kind of camera that can kind of see that it's calmed after you've left?
Funny you should say that.
I was kind of joking. You do.
We do at the moment because we've just moved house and we've got a whole new situation. And I thought, I'm going to put the camera on, see what this little bugger does.
Yeah.
And yet just freaks out the whole time.
Oh, no, that's worse for you to know.
No, it's not. Suck it up, princess. Oh, you're safe.
Must be exhausted by the time you come home.
He is a little bit, yes. Yes, it's a good workout for him. Sleeps really well.
What breed?
His name is Schnitzel. I'm not sure what his breed is. No, he's got wiry Jack Russell and Dash Hound in him.
Right. Bit of this, bit of that.
Yes.
All right. So lots of families come along to session and they say, my child has separation anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I immediately hear is they're having a really hard time.
Mm-hmm.
They're at school typically, and that can be kindy, prep, grade 1, 2, 3, usually. And what that means, as you can imagine, is that they go to drop the child off and the child clings to them, like Velcro, and protests that they're leaving.
Yeah.
And
tough.
Yeah, and, you know, each morning is an absolute ordeal and they're really stressed. And they come along here and they say, my child has separation anxiety. And what's really interesting about that is that it's one of those areas where people just decide to diagnose.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Well, it's the language for it. What else can you say?
Well, it's fascinating. They come and say, my child has separation anxiety.
Because their kid is anxious when they're separating from them.
Yeah, I know, but the plot thickens,
right.
Well and truly. So you wouldn't say, come along and say, and I don't mean to sound critical here, but
of course,
from my perspective, they don't, you know, you don't come along and say, my child has got dyslexia or my child has got ADHD or my child has got, you know, whatever, you go and get it tested. Whereas, seriously, people come in, it's just absolutely in their mind, locked in, they have separation anxiety. So I do my thing with the kids and get down to their level, literally sitting on the ground with them and get into their head. And for the majority, and I say majority, maybe 70%, the kids, when actually get into their head and find out what they're thinking, their logic is beautiful. It is, you know what, I would prefer to be with my mum, usually, or my dad, and I really don't think this is a great idea, and I'm pretty annoyed that this has been imposed on me, so I'm going to let it rip.
Yep, everyone else is going to suffer.
Yeah, yeah. And so for these kids, it's a preference, right? And they're protesting, and they're really letting it go. So that's interesting. That's tough, you know, something to work on.
Oh, and they're getting to control something. Like, how exciting. Well,
they're trying very hard. Yeah. But this is the fascinating thing. That's not separation anxiety.
Okay. So what is separation anxiety?
It's a bit like a phobia.
Right? Yes.
It's a belief that if I'm separated from the parent, my parent will come to harm or I will come to harm.
Okay, yep.
And so it's a very catastrophic belief system
where
they believe that there's a danger. And their reaction is clinging on because they're trying to control their environment so that they and their family are safe. So it really, even though we call it an anxiety, it's more of a phobia. And it's a very distorted belief system, very catastrophic and a horrible belief for the child too.
You know, awful for everybody.
Yeah, it's like, okay, mum's dropping me off. She's about to go around the corner, have a car accident and die. That's actually what they think. The most common types of separation anxiety is a fear for the parent's safety, And car accidents are the thing that the kids say to me.
So, wow.
Yeah, so you can see why when families come in and they say, my kid has separation anxiety, I'm like, pause, let's just get into it. And they have this beautiful kind of sense that if I'm with my mum and dad, they will be safe, which is another gorgeous kid framework, hey, that they think that they have this sort of magical cape and they will keep the parents safe. I know, right? Breaks your heart. And it's this omnipotent kind of sense of capacity.
What was that word?
Omnipotent, like I'm a god. Okay. I'm a god, yeah. And I can just protect them, you know. The truth is they've got anxiety, and if the parent is across from them, they see that the parent is okay, and therefore they are not stressed. But they don't kind of check out the reasoning so carefully. They just think they protect the parent. Less of a common theme is that the child thinks they're in danger. And even less common is the belief that the child and the parent is in danger. And it's usually mum. It's usually the primary parent. And sometimes they'll say things like, well, mum will have a car accident, dad won't. <I'll> say, why? Are you saying that your mum's the dad's a better driver? And they look at me and they haven't thought it through that much. So we won't tell mum that. But anyway, so I just think it's fascinating that the population come across this issue very regularly. They go and think they know what they're talking about. Good on them for giving it a shot. But they actually majority get it wrong.
Yep.
So is it a child protesting or is it a child with a phobia? What's fascinating is that if it's a child protesting,
yes,
they usually grow out of it.
Happens when your kid does it when they're a bit older, like mine did when I dropped them off at boarding school.
Did they? Well, you do know about separation anxiety.
Oh, yeah, it's raised, yeah. Obviously, I've got suppressed memories from PTSD. I remember leaving the school once.
Yeah.
We dropped the child off at boarding school. The child didn't want to go to boarding school, like most kids.
Fair, fair.
And then our child flung himself onto the bull bar of the car as we were trying to exit the car park.
Oh, that's terrible.
No, it was awful. It was traumatic for me.
You just got to feel like...
I was horrid. It was horrid. Poor little bugger.
And did you...
Yeah, no, we pulled him off and got him into the... Yeah.
Oh, that's horrible.
I can't... Yeah, I just had to hide in the car because I was no help to anyone.
Yeah. Was that a protest or was that a fear?
I don't know.
Yeah, poor darling. Yeah. So I guess what I'm trying to say is... It'd be great for people to realise that it might be a protest or it might be a fear, and we need to work that out first so we can fix the problem. If it's a protest, it's a gentle nudge of we can't have what we want, and you get to see mum and dad later, and this is sadly how society works, whether it be good or bad, and that's the angle. If it's a phobia, if it's a fear of risk to the parent, then it actually has to be cognitive behaviour therapy, probably see a child psychologist. And you need to address it because it's not going away anytime soon.
That would be one of the most stressful things as a parent, to have that
phobia.
That separation phobia in your children.
Yeah.
Would be horrid.
Yeah.
Because everybody's – and you would live on tenterhooks every weekday thinking that you've got to go through it again and again. It'd be awful.
Absolutely. And kids don't verbalise what they're thinking. And all they do is act out, and the parent thinks that they're just doing it out of preference and protest, and they don't understand the child has this belief system. And, you know, poor parents, honestly, they feel terrible that I explained this to them and that they didn't know this about their child, but it's a conversation you don't really have or know how to have. And but the good news is once we figure out the issue, it's actually really – I don't mean to sound like a – but I'm actually able to work on it really fast. Get it sorted on your bike. You don't need me. See you later. So it's a really exciting area to get in and sort out.
Be life-changing for families.
Absolutely. Drop and run. See you, buddy. Have a great day. And the kid goes off without any fear to start.
So what do you do about, like, because I've just said that scenario about one of my children at some point in their life, but generally, my kids have never cared less if I'm there or not. A little bit of tears or something would have been nice.
Oh, my gosh. Seriously.
Is that another podcast?
No. Our number 4, 12 years old, just caught the bus on the first day of school with all his school books in his bag without even knowing how to open his locker yet. That's see you later, Mum. Like, you know, I'm good. And he was, I'm glad you're that confident. That's great. Yeah, no. Quick, let me get a photo before you go. Oh, Mum. You know.
Yes.
Yeah, no. Bit of sadness would be nice.
Mm. So the one that I was speaking about at boarding school on the bull bar of the car screaming, which was quite horrendous for us all, when I dropped him off at kindy for the first time and school for the first time, he literally was, see ya.
Really?
I'm good now.
Mm. It's fascinating.
So it was really odd to happen later, but anyway.
I love the story. Our number five, when he went to two kindies because he wanted 5 days, 3 days wasn't enough, things were. So we're like, rightio. And one of them, he turned up and he chatted away a million miles an hour, really, didn't share the teacher enough with the other kids. But then to the other place, which he still wanted to go to, he was silent and they thought that he had a speech impairment because he was mute. And I mean, mute, silent. And, you know, our number five, that's not his character at all. And, and the teacher kept trying to get me to go and have a speech assessment. I kept explaining, no, he's just not – he does speak a lot, just not here.
Just not to you, love.
Well, I didn't say that. And she was like, the conversation hadn't happened, and she kept saying it each time. And I was – you know, I said, no, he's actually very vocal, really. And then at one point I said, I'm a child psychologist, you know. I do observe these things. No, each time, same thing. And she just maybe wanted to be the expert. And anyway, I got fed up and I got in the car park from the kindy and literally recorded him babbling away in the backseat of the car in their car park and sent it to her. I felt kind of mean, but I was annoyed.
Yeah, enough.
She never brought it up again. Anyway, I guess my point there is how the kid feels at different settings is quite relevant, hey?
Yes.
But no separation anxiety there.
No.
That was just a fun story.
Yeah, well, it is. That's because that's what we're here for, fun and stories. So,
no, it's really interesting. Well, darling, thank you so much. Really great topic. I've been wanting to have a chat about that. So I'm feeling good.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I never knew.
There you go. That's my point. That's what this is all about. Yes. Okay. Well, if you want to catch me online, everybody, KirstenHunterAuthor.com. Lots and lots of resources there. Facebook and Instagram, Kirsten Hunter Author, and TikTok, Dr. Kirsten Hunter. Thank you, darling. Appreciate it very much.
My pleasure.
Bye.
Bye.